This is part 5 of Gospel Misunderstandings, and the first of the three that we'll be covering is which beginning? We talked briefly, and you heard in the previous lesson, about the beginning of the Gospel being when Paul departed from Macedonia. Well, some people try to discredit Paul's identification of being the beginning of the Gospel by trying to tie it, connect it with 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and that verse's use of the word beginning. Excuse me just a minute. Sorry about that. The word does appear in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but, you know, contrary to the context, the context that is in, and the context that this Acts 20 verse 6 is in, it shows that it's unwarranted resistance to what God is saying in the Bible. There's no reason for them to try to connect those two, no biblical reason. Look at the verse yourself. It says, 2 Corinthians 2:13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit." And remember, before I finish the verse there, Paul said sanctification comes from the gospel of God. When they believe that, they're set apart, sanctified to hear and believe the gospel of salvation. So he says, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And belief of the truth is the word of truth, is the gospel of your salvation. So he's talking about both aspects of it there, that they believed who Jesus is in the gospel of God and were sanctified by the Spirit, and then they believed that Christ died for their sins. And, incidentally, the reference about sanctification coming from the gospel of God is Romans 15, verse 16. We don't need to go there, though. We see what a plain and clear reading of Philippians 4:15 that was brought up also in the previous lesson. What that shows about the beginning of the gospel. Look at what it says. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Excuse me just a minute. I'll be just a second. Hold on. Okay, pardon me. Philippians 4:15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Well, you can easily understand that Paul is referencing the time when he departed from Macedonia as being the beginning of the gospel. It's not a beginning of the gospel, as if there was, you know, one of several beginnings of the gospel. It's the beginning of the gospel. And it's not the beginning of a gospel. That would be too vague for Paul. Paul specified that when he departed from Macedonia, it was the beginning of the gospel. And that's the gospel by which we're saved by today, by which we're saved, when we believe it. Paul did not go into detail about what gospel began at that time, the time that when he was referring to in Philippians 4:15 as the beginning of the gospel. But it can easily be determined from Scripture. Those to whom Paul was writing in Philippi had been saved by the gospel of Christ. That was in Acts 16. It was during the time when Paul visited there, You can read it in Acts 16, verses 12 through 40, through the end of that chapter, right up until he went to Thessalonica. But if you look in verse 27, Philippians 1, 27, Paul writing back after the end of Acts, writing back to the Philippians, he says, "Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ." Now, after the end of Acts, he was preaching the gospel of the grace of God, being the same message, the same content to the gospel, but it being to all people. His sending was what changed, not the content of the gospel. He was sent beyond the Jew first and also to the Greek, to them, yes, but also to all the world, to the whole world. And so later, when he wrote this, the gospel being preached was the gospel of the grace of God. But here, they had received it when he was there in Acts 16. So only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that by which you were saved, in other words. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So from the context, apparently those Jews in Philippi were already gospel of God believers by the time that Paul arrived in Philippi. He didn't have to preach that to them. He ascertained that they were gospel of God believers. According to Acts 16, verses 13 and 14, the Jews that Paul spoke with in Philippi, when he arrived in Philippi and spoke with the Jews there, they were no longer worshiping in the synagogue in Philippi, that chief city of that part of Macedonia. Philippi, being a chief city, would no doubt have had a synagogue. I hear people saying that there was no synagogue in Philippi, so they had to meet by the river. But that, you know, James in Acts 15 says Moses is read in every city. And here you've got a large city, Philippi. What's it say about it? The chief city in that part of Macedonia. The chief city of that part of Macedonia. It certainly would have had a synagogue. In several places, the Lord gave the reason why those Jews in the synagogue were not allowed. The Jews that were, correct it. The Jews that I'm talking about are the ones that met by the river, having already believed the gospel of God. And the verses that I'm going to read here, three verses, will show why they were not allowed in the synagogue by the apostate Jews that ran the synagogue. Let's look at three verses. John 9:22, first of all. John 9:22, and thank you for helping by posting the verses there. That helps a lot for all of us. So it's not just me that you're hearing, but you're reading the words of the Lord too. John 9:22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, they would be put out. They should be put out of the synagogue. So, just admitting to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ would put you out of the synagogue. You would be expelled. What's the term used recently? Is excommunicated. John 12:42. Nevertheless, the chief rulers also. Among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. Well, that's a good thing. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And the third one is John 16:2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh when whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. So, believers that Jesus is the risen Messiah were not welcome in the Jewish synagogues. And also in Acts 16, verses 13 and 14, those verses hint that they already believed as just like the little flock people believed in Jerusalem. They had that same belief. Look at those verses, Acts 16:13. And on the Sabbath went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. So they met on the Sabbath. That's characteristic of the Jews in Jerusalem, the little flock, the church of God there. Prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. Verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, so they're there to worship God, she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Attended unto, that's an interesting phrase. It doesn't actually say she received it, does it? But she had a ready mind. She mulled them over, considered them, and I believe she believed it. Well, what would he preach to Gospel of God believers? If they're already Gospel of God believers, having been kicked out of the synagogue, he would preach the Gospel of Christ. That's what he had. That's what he was sent to preach. Also, there were those that believed Jesus was the Messiah and Lord, who were baptized in their belief as saved individuals. Remember, this is, we're talking about Acts 16 here. This is before the temple vision in Acts 18, when the Lord probably told Paul not to baptize in water anymore. And he reports in Acts 19 when he wrote 1 Corinthians, the Lord sent me not to baptize. Well, he had baptized before, but when he got the word not to baptize, he didn't baptize anymore. So, before the temple vision dividing line, Paul baptized, and after that dividing line, Paul was sent not to baptize. Let's look at these verses, starting in Acts 16, verse 30, and we'll go through verse 34. Acts 16, 30, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what? This is after they were thrown in jail, and there was an earthquake that brought them out. Remember, Peter, when he was brought out, it was an angel. Angels have to do with Israel. But here, Paul is thrown in jail, and it's an earthquake that frees him. Not an angel. Brought them out. The jailer brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. So everybody in his house got preached to. They heard the gospel. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. That's how we know that Paul preached the gospel of salvation, because you don't get baptized by believing the gospel of God. Acts 16:34, you don't get saved by believing the gospel of God, but it's the foundation. It's the starting point, believing who Jesus is. Acts 16:34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The point here is that Paul wrote back in his early post-Acts epistle to the Philippians, stating that they had been saved by the gospel of Christ. So the gospel of Christ was still in effect in Acts 16, I should say already in effect by Acts 16 when Paul visited Philippi. The gospel of the grace of God to all men had to have come later than Acts 16. And so that's what we're saying, that it was eligible. The gospel of the grace of God was eligible to be the beginning of the gospel when Paul sailed away from, or left, departed, I think it says, departed from Macedonia. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The only gospel that Paul titled after the gospel of Christ, he referenced in Acts 20, verse 24, and 25, actually, but we'll start in Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, that I may finish my course with joy. Additionally, actually the text says, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord to testify, that's a form of dispensing, isn't it? Testifying, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, this is verse 25, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Now that's a change. Instead of going back through that route again and seeing his old friends in the churches that he's established, he's going somewhere else. He's going far off. He's going, well, far hence, actually, to the far off Gentiles. And some people try to change the meaning of that clear and specific verse and context, but that only shows that their loyalty is to their human mentor, and that it's stronger than their loyalty to God and His Word. Think about it. Why fight the Word of God with suppositions and speculations? They try to connect 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14, to the beginning of the gospel, because the word beginning is in there. You don't just look up a word and find where it's other places where it appears and say this means that. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13 and verse 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved brethren of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a major difference between the beginning before the foundation of the world that he mentions there, and when God chose believers to salvation, between that and the beginning of the gospel, when a new audience was targeted for the saving message that already existed and by which Paul had been saved, for him to begin to be sent to all people. They're different situations. You can't just equate the two because the word beginning appears in both. Actually, 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14 is more appropriately referring to what Paul refers to in Ephesians 1, verse 4. And we can look that up. Ephesians 1, 4, and then Romans 8, verse 29. But Ephesians 1, 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So there it says we're chosen. And let's look in Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So first they were chosen, then they were called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So it just shows poor study habits when people merely do a word search to find the same word somewhere else and then say that this means that. regardless of the context. I mean, the context is what it's our major guide as to what the words mean. It's just like the difference between remission and forgiveness. When the context shows it's a future time that it occurs, it would be remittance. When it shows that it's right now, it's talking about forgiveness. So I hope no one reading this or listening to this or hearing it on a... what's a tape? on a recording... ever resorts to those kind of tactics to try and convince people of your own preconceived ideas and opinions. All right, well, that's about the beginning of the gospel. Now let's look at some misunderstandings about who called the Thessalonians and the phrase there. Want to reemphasize actually what we just said, so it won't be long. But look again at those verses, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God chose them in verse 13, and in verse 14 He called those that He had chosen. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking it's very telling that He uses the term our gospel. I mean, He calls it the gospel of Christ. Paul calls it my gospel because it was given to him and it was committed to him to dispense it. And then here he calls it our gospel because, if you remember, and we'll get into that probably tomorrow in a detailed way, putting Thessalonica under the microscope, but he was sent... It was interrupted. He was interrupted and didn't get to preach what he wanted to, the gospel of salvation, to them at first. He had to send back Timothy, our fellow minister in the gospel. What's it say? Our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. I'm trying to think of the exact verse. That's sent back. That's 3. 1 Thessalonians 3. Verses 1 and 2. We don't need to get into those, but if anybody needs to verify it, it's 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. So, what we see here, though, is that God who chose them also called them. He chose them in verse 13, and He called them in verse 14 of 2 Thessalonians 2. So, we're going to stop there, I think, and see if there are any questions. Did I stir up any questions or cause any doubts? I hope not. I hope I helped show reason for more faith in what happened back in those days and how we got our gospel, how we got our Bible, too.